And now, as we take time to look into God's word, to study his word, and to hear his word proclaimed, the scripture passage I have picked this afternoon is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Please give your attention to God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word as it is read. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now he that hath wrought us for this selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Well, they say death is a natural part of life. You're born, you grow old, you die. It's the way of the world. It is the circle of life. However, what if there were more to the story? What if it doesn't have to be the way of the world? What if we don't have to go round the circle of life? What if death, rather than being a natural part of this world, was an intruder, an invader? That's what the Bible tells us. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. Sin entered into the world, and then death came in through that opening that sin had made into the doorway of this good creation. Death is a problem that has plagued humanity from the very beginning, but it is not how things were originally created. Humanity was originally created good and without sin. But then humanity rebelled, and sin entered God's good creation, and death was the result. Again, the Bible is very clear on this. For the wages of sin is death. Sin is the greatest threat to the human race. It is worse than racism. It is worse than injustice. It is worse than violence. In fact, all of these things are just a result of sin. They have sin as their root cause. And as a result of sin, we see death. But, my favorite word in all the Bible, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If sin were a virus, it would be worse than COVID-19. But the good news is that, unlike COVID-19, there is a cure for sin. And it is found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, through his life, his death, and his resurrection, defeated death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which hath given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the truth of his victory over sin and death is what fuels our Christian hope. It is what feeds and fans the fire of our Christian hope. It was the truth that fueled the life of the Apostle Paul as he writes to the church in Corinth in the passage we just read a few moments ago. And this passage we read is really a continuation of a train of thought that Paul has in the previous chapter, in chapter 4. And in that chapter, he was talking about the trials and the tribulations he experienced as a minister, as a missionary of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he concludes that chapter by saying, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." He talks about how the things he is experiencing in this life as a minister for the gospel are light afflictions, which last but for a moment. And this hope is in the things that his hope is in the things that are not seen, the things that are not of this world, the things that are eternal. In other words, Paul was heavenly focused. That's why when he comes now to the beginning of chapter 5, he can start by saying, For we know. What do we know, Paul? Please tell us, what do we know? We know that even though this earthly house, this tent, this body that we're in is fading, we know that we have a heavenly home, a heavenly body, a body not made with hands, but made by God that is eternal. This is the confidence that we have in Christ. And it's a confidence we have in Christ because he died and he was resurrected, and we who place our faith and trust in Christ will also be resurrected when Christ returns in glory. Now, there are many people in the world who think and believe, like we said at the beginning, we're born, we grow old, and we die. There are many people who think that death is the end of life, that once you're put into the ground, that's it. As such, they live this life for all it's worth, trying to squeeze out every drop of joy and happiness that they can in this life before they die. Now, don't get me wrong. Life is indeed a precious gift from God, and there is nothing wrong with living life to its fullest. But if that's all you see this life is, as a fleeting source of amusement before you die, then you're missing the point of living. We were created to have communion with God. We were created to glorify and enjoy God forever. And sin invaded this world and broke that communion, but that communion has been restored now by Jesus Christ. He paid the debt for our sins. And he, by placing our faith and trust in him, we can be forgiven our sins and enjoy peace with God. You see, in Christ, death is a defeated enemy. But outside of Christ, death is something still to be feared. And Paul didn't fear death because he understood that what we have awaiting for us is far better than what we have now in this life. In fact, remember these words that Paul said in this passage, "For in this we groan, in this body we groan. We groan because this body is decaying. We groan because we know this body is limited. We groan because we know this body is weak." But then he backs that up by saying, We earnestly desire the heavenly body. Everything this earthly body is not, the heavenly body is. The heavenly body is incorruptible. The heavenly body is glorious. And the heavenly body is powerful. That's why Paul says he doesn't want to be unclothed. I don't want to just leave this earthly body, but I want to be further clothed. I want to take on my glorious heavenly body. And it is a body that the Bible says is like Christ's glorious resurrection body. Now, Paul says in this passage that we are always confident. Again, confident of what, Paul? Tell us. confident that we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Again, this is our Christian hope. Christians have a confidence of life in the world to come. Now, this confidence isn't born out of arrogance. This confidence isn't born out of the fact that we think we're better than everyone else. This confidence is one that is grounded upon our faith in Jesus Christ. He is the one who lived a truly obedient life. He is the one who conquered death. And he is the one in whom we place our faith and trust for eternal life. Our confidence is also grounded by the Holy Spirit, whom Paul says was given to us as a guarantee. The Holy Spirit is given to believers by God as a down payment, as a guarantee of the life to come, the heavenly life. The Holy Spirit is a guarantee that the work that God began in you by saving you, he will now bring to completion on the day of Christ, when Christ returns. The Holy Spirit not only confirms within us that we are children of God, but he also secures us through, as Paul said, these light and momentary afflictions that we face in this life. So as a result, we are confident, and that confidence carries us through the daily travails of living life under the sun. And because even though our heavenly home is secure for us, we know that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And because of this absence from the Lord, because of the fact that we are not in perfect communion with God yet, Paul says, then we walk by faith and not by sight. The Christian life is a walk by faith. This faith is in the things not seen. This faith is in the things that are eternal. There are so many things that happen in this world that if this life was all there is, we would despair. If this life was all there is, I want a refund. I want my money back, because it is not worth living if this life is all there is. Think of all the senseless violence and hatred you see each day on the nightly news. Think of all the anger and frustration that we are experiencing right now with our current political process. If this life were all there is, it would be very depressing. I mean, even if we focus on the good things of life, things like family, things like our friends, things like love and good times, these things don't last forever. All good things come to an end. All things eventually fade away. But the good news is that the Christian doesn't walk by sight. The Christian doesn't walk by what we see in this world. The Christian walks by faith. The Christian doesn't hope in the things of this life and the things of this world. The Christian's hope is in heaven, the things as of yet unseen. It is a life of faith, walking by faith. And because of this, Paul can say, we are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And again, he returns to this theme of confidence. A confidence, again, based on faith in Jesus Christ and strengthened by the Holy Spirit within. This confidence is in our eternal destiny. While in this life we are absent from the Lord, when we die, we will be present with the Lord. Tom Noose, who died in the Lord, right now is present with the Lord. This is the glorious truth for those who die in the faith. They will enjoy the blessed presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be sure, for the time being, it's an existence absent from this body, but we also believe that when Jesus Christ returns, we will be clothed with our heavenly body. This is what Paul believed. And this is what Christians all throughout history have believed. It is our hope. The Bible says to live is Christ and to die is gain. The Christian life right now is a life of thankful obedience for all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ. But when our time has come, and God calls us home, it is pure gain. Pure gain. Tom may be absent from us right now, but he is present with the Lord. And Tom is in the presence of our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, and that is pure gain. So because of this glorious hope we have as Christians, Paul says, that's why we labor. That is why we work. We labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Whether we're present in the presence of the Lord or absent in our earthly bodies, we labor so that we may be accepted of him. Now, lest we think this is somehow doing good so that God will save us, it is not. There is no working for your salvation. Paul is saying that because of the great hope that Christians have in Christ, he wants to please God, who had chosen him for such grace and blessing. What does any Christian want to hear once their earthly labors are done? Well done, good and faithful servant. When Paul was nearing the end of his life, he told his dear friend Timothy, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." Paul did not let his Christian hope make him complacent. If anything, it fueled his labors all the more. And then at the end of his life, he could say with a clear conscience, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Christian, can you say when your life is done, you have fought the good fight? We labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Tom's labors are done. He fought the good fight. He finished the course. And he kept the faith. One of the things that has brought Tom a great deal of comfort, and which has brought many a Christian a great deal of comfort for centuries, is the Heidelberg Catechism, an old German teaching tool used to instruct children and those new to the faith the essentials of the Christian faith. And that first question in the Catechism, which is included in the program here, goes like this. Was ist dein einiger Trost im Leben und im Sterben? Or translated into English, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And the answer goes like this, that I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and redeemed me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, that all things must work together for my salvation. Wherefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live unto him. But this is the comfort that only believers have. The only one who belongs both body and soul unto his faithful Savior Jesus Christ is the one who has placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ in the first place. Paul labored to be accepted because he knew his Christian hope. But there is another thing he knew as well, and that judgment is coming. Our passage this afternoon ended, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Whether you accept it or not, whether you believe it or not, I'm here to tell you that we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus, our Lord, spoke about his glorious return at the end of the age. And he said that he will come with his holy angels, and he shall sit upon his throne of glory. At this time, all people of every nation shall be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And to the sheep on his right hand, he will say, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. To the goats on his left hand, he will say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. If you are trusting in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, then you have been clothed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, so that when Jesus looks at you from his throne of glory, he will see righteous in the Lord. He will not see sinner. You see, Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. He lived the life that we were supposed to live. He fulfilled the law like we were supposed to do. And then he died the death that we were supposed to die, the death on a cross. He died a death he did not deserve on behalf of sinners. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you are trusting in anything else but Christ for your salvation, whether that be your own good works, whether that be you think maybe God grades on a curve, or whether you think that God will somehow, your good will somehow outweigh your bad, let me tell you, that is a bad, bad plan. Your good works will never be good enough. God does not grade on a curve. And there's no way your good will outweigh your bad. There are no grades in life. Life is pass, fail. And Jesus passed. Jesus Christ passed the test. And then we can pass the test too through our faith in him. Tom trusted in Christ alone for his salvation. And Tom is now in the glorious presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Tom has heard the words, well done, good and faithful servant. And the good news is that you can too, if you trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. Let's pray.